Better wrap some presents. Yeah. You got shit to do, too.
I guess I do. These are all Danielle's presents back here that I haven't wrapped.
Oh, my God.
But don't tell her what they are.
Not really. Some of it's trash.
Some of it is
trash. I don't even know what you got here, so.
It's hiding the presents I already wrapped from Santa.
This is how we hide presents from kids. Mm-hmm. They will never investigate this.
They don't
this.
Care to look never. Other than this.
Wow.
Hello and welcome back to RTFB. This is Travis, and today is the day when Chris, other Chris, Danielle, and I bring you yet another classic, classic holiday movie to really put you in the spirit of Christmas. This year, that classic book, Nothing Lasts Forever by Roderick Thorpe, which of course we all know is the inspiration for the movie Die Hard. As of the time of this recording, Die Hard is free to stream on Tubi, to rent from basically every online service, and is probably playing somewhere on TV right as we speak. So go ahead and get yourself a festive drink, cuddle under a blanket, kick off your shoes and make some fists with your toes, and let's get back into my conversation with the Chrises and Danielle already in progress.
Yep. But it also gets in Grandma Sue's way of getting in bed.
So yep.
We gotta clear it out.
Mm.
Yep. It's understandable.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So let's dive right in because everyone's got schedules and stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So how long would you all have waited in that limo before you're like, fuck this guy, and like just threw his bags like at the door and left?
Yeah.
Like, since we had like an agreement, like maybe 30 minutes.
I'd give him 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not like he had somewhere to be. Like, he was, you know, he contracted or whatever.
And he's counting on so kind of a fat tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also he's got a fridge full of booze.
Yeah, yeah, and a cool stuffed bear.
And a phone.
Yeah, exactly.
That he could just talk to everybody
just
on,
talk to
apparently.
Everyone on that phone.
In the 80s. Bitchin' what technology. Luxury.
Yeah.
Right?
Car phone. Remember car phones?
I do. My grandma had one.
Remember that? Yeah.
It never worked.
My parents
and it was
had
big.
One in one of their cars.
Oh. I don't think ours ever did.
Mm-mm.
Not until it was a cell phone.
We weren't rich enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or that dialed into technology.
I still don't know how my grandma got that. And like I said, we never could make it work.
Yeah.
And it just lived in its briefcase under her seat.
Just in case.
Just in case. Till the cell phones came around, then they were useful.
Yeah.
This one kind of replaced like the center console in between the driver and passenger seat.
Yeah.
That's what I think of as like the classic first car phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we got to engage with controversy. Like, is this a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. No question, right?
Yep.
No question.
Yeah. Not.
I
not
always
at all.
Disagree with those who say no.
Yeah. What the hell? Like.
Yeah.
Like it is. Like overwhelmingly a Christmas movie.
Yeah. It's not only got. It's not only literally set at Christmas. It's got all the themes you want, like in your Hallmark movies, like. He's reconnecting to his family and making new friends.
Romance.
Right.
Reengaging the spirit of the holiday, which is murdering terrorists.
A little bit of action. Right, exactly. It's bringing justice to one and all.
Right. Atoning for sins.
Yeah. Yes.
Redemption.
And I mean, he's even going through the ductwork, like some kind of, Santa.
Like Santa.
Claus.
Yeah. And he leaves presents.
Yeah, exactly.
Of dead people, another thing.
And receives presents.
Yes. And he did it all barefoot.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Like Jesus, probably.
What a guy.
Yeah. Now that's the real controversy we have to address. Like, where'd that come from, that advice? Like, yeah, after a long flight, just go barefoot and, like, make your feet into, like, little fists.
Some seat jockey who'd done it for 9 years in the 80s, so that was a big deal, I guess. Like, I've never heard that.
Like,
the most I hear is wear compression socks on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's trying to combat? Thrombosis?
Mm.
I don't know. It's fun to say.
Thrombosis.
Thrombosis.
Thrombosis. Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Also, Is this anyone's first time watching this movie?
It was mine.
Oh, I had never seen
it. It was also my first time to watch it all the way through.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've been that way for a while, but I watched it like 12 years ago for the first time, so.
Yeah. This has been a yearly Christmas tradition for the last few years for me.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I try to make it one as well.
Yeah.
Totally worth. But yeah.
It's on my list along with Krampus and other few other classics now.
Oh, yeah. The classic of Krampus.
I'm sure I've seen parts of it. I think I've seen Die Hard too, but I don't think I've always watched this one all the way through until like last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen Die Hard 2.
But you Die Harder.
But I've seen the others. Just not two.
Die Hard 2 is mostly the same movie, just mm-hmm. like in an airport.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I would say the third one is probably the best of the sequels.
Yeah.
So that's the one you want to watch, the one with Samuel L. Jackson.
With a vengeance.
Right. Yes.
Yes. Not Live Free or Die Hard.
I mean, I like that one, but it's not as good.
Well, that one did the thing that like all of the Fast and Furious movies did, which is like it starts off as like something kind of somewhat realistic, and then uh-huh. it just goes fucking off the rails. Like they have
yeah.
to keep like one-upping the action and like making the stakes higher and higher.
And I have like, not. Oh, I haven't seen this fifth one either.
Oh, my God.
See that.
Which one's that?
It's one that came out like a few years ago.
A Good Day to Die Hard? Is that the fifth one? Or is that Live Free or Die Hard?
No. I think it's a Good Day to Die Hard.
Am I just making up titles now? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like I mean, it's not difficult, is it?
Because we had to look it up. We were looking up on Hulu and like, where's the fifth one? Oh, yeah. It's all the way down here because it's not, doesn't start with a D.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Fucking alphabetizing.
It's not in any type of order.
Not in any type of order.
Remember when they would just number movies?
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
It's just two. No colon, yeah. No nothing.
Yeah.
The search for
sometimes if they were fancy, you got Roman numerals like Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Star Trek.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, Danielle, how'd you like this movie?
I liked it, except for I did think it was like 20 minutes too long. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, why is this still going? Like, we have done all that we can do, and we are still going.
To kill everyone, right? Guys.
No, there was one more terrorist to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, even at the very end.
He hadn't given there was everyone one more their guy. Redemption. Like, he needed Carl Winslow to get redemption, too.
Carl Winslow, best character.
Yep. Yeah.
He was a joy. He's got, like, indeed. The greatest smile in film. He's just delightful.
He's just so joyful all the time.
Yeah,
right.
What a charming man. I would say that's something about this movie is it really is just charming. Yeah. I don't know. Like Bruce Willis is a charming dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's good at that shit.
This was like Bruce Willis at his most Bruce Willis-y, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is what the world figured out with this movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a handsome guy who can do action-y stuff, but he also is like a guy. He's a guy.
And he's funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's funny. He's got quips.
Yeah. And I mean, I watched a while back, I watched a little bit of Moonlighting, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen that.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Long time, a little bit of it.
Yeah, but like rewatching it as an adult, like you kind of get the sense of like why they would have liked him for this role, I guess.
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. Bruce Willis was not like an action guy before this movie,
right?
And in Moonlighting, he was like sort of a fast-talking private detective
who's
kind of also like not very good at his job.
Right.
Like, so he gets by in that show a lot on charm, I think. And right. like that's really like Bruce Willis kind of more as like a romantic lead, which people don't see him that much as that like anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah.
But this seemed to be like a framework they would return to a lot, like the reluctant retiree, like getting back in the game, but taking care of business, like in Fifth Element or.
Right.
Yeah.
What have you.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely charming and like nostalgic. for that era of movies, like even stupid stuff like having random boobs in it. I'm like, oh, remember when that happened in movies?
Remember when they would just put boobs in a movie? Remember
there's that? No need for it, but there it is. Like, all right.
No. And also it's the 80s, so you have to have like cocaine sweat guy.
Yeah. Don Jr.
Yeah. Especially since he's, you know, working in a high powered job in a Japanese corporation.
Yeah. He's got work stress he has to deal with.
Who actually holds a party on Christmas Eve, though? Like, guys, this should have been like a week ago.
Corporations did like 30, 40 years ago, I guess. I don't know.
You have to remember that, like, back then, business people lived for only business.
Yeah.
And so you just go home afterwards. They had a private Christmas party to go to, and it's not like they were going to be spending time with their families. Like,
that's true.
They're all going to be at the office doing cocaine.
Like, those same people from that time frame are still doing that today. Like, they have not figured out how to get over it.
Doing cocaine and each other.
Yep.
And enjoying the festive spirit.
Sending their kids a check for $500. Go, here you go, kid. Get yourself something nice.
Yeah, and there you go, kid.
And the fact that they, like, for the movie, made the corporation Japanese also is, like, a weird reflection of, like, the fear of Japanese economic power during that era.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coming to buy everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's something kind of
like the Chinese are doing now.
To talk about when we got to the book also, because like the book was written in the late 70s and the movie was made in the late 80s. And so one of the shifts between the corporations is like the book corporation is an oil baron, basically, Claxon. Mm-hmm. And to update it for the 80s, they made it, you know, Japanese conglomerate. Soft bank of the time or whatever. Like,
Yeah.
I guess just to reflect the different economic fears.
Yeah.
Like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting shifts between that and the book. I was delighted to find out there even was a book, so it fits our idiom.
Exactly. We could talk about it.
I'd never even heard of this before, but.
Is it actually called Die Hard?
No, it is called Nothing Lasts Forever.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. It was later renamed to Die Hard because, again, we'll talk about this more. I think a lot of good changes.
Yeah.
From book to movie. But before we jump into that, so Roderick Thorpe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Born in 1936 in the Bronx and died in 1999 in Oxnard. So he did not quite make it to the millennium, you guys.
Probably good for him.
Yeah.
He died in the good years.
Died in Prince's 1999 instead of the millennium. He graduated from City College of New York in 57. And after graduation, sold cars. Worked in haberdashery.
Ooh, okay.
Founded
store.
A catering company.
It's a fun one.
Worked in insurance and also worked at his dad's private detective agency.
So it took him a while to find his true strength of writing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like me, just trying to figure out what you want to do for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spend the first, like, 40 or 50 years of your life just kind of bouncing around.
Yeah. Right.
Haberdasher is great to have on a resume, you guys.
Mm-hmm. It probably was back then. I mean, Harry Truman was a haberdasher.
Haberdasher. Yeah. They noted that when he was working as a detective, he had once spent a week lying under a bus to spy on a mechanic who is selling stolen gasoline.
What?
So he is no stranger to extreme conditions to catch criminals.
Yeah, wow.
He also went back and became a teacher of literature.
Oh, nice.
And creative writing. So he wrote something like...
Just not with, you know, compulsory kids.
Yeah. Wrote something like 13 novels, 5 of which were made into movies.
Wow, really?
In fact, yeah.
It's this book a is a sequel to a book called The Detective, which was made into a movie in the 60s, starring Frank Sinatra as John McClane.
What?
/ Joe Leland.
Joe Leland.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so the same character.
That's some range, you guys.
Wow, I had no idea. That's almost Philip K. Dick levels of books turned into things and whatnot.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm guessing, I know Danielle didn't read the book. Chris, did you read the book?
No.
Other Chris read the book.
I did.
Yeah, I don't have time for reading things other than school shit. So
you mean you're not going to get your kids to read a Die Hard book?
Unfortunately, no, but I did get them to read The Outsiders, and they really liked it, so. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
And they liked, some of them liked the movie.
Yeah.
Others thought the movie was too quick and didn't do some things right.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So you're taking a cue from the podcast and you're teaching of the children, making them read a book and watch a movie.
Yes.
Yeah. I found that pretty entertaining when we were doing that. And I'm like, this is exactly what I do with my podcast, except our version will be safe for work.
So won't feature cocaine. Yeah.
No.
Or curse words. Because let me tell you, when I let one fly, they all act like they saw God or something walk by.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So no, it—that's how it goes.
Yeah. So the first book in the series, The Detective, was written in 1966, and this came out like 9 years later. Apparently, right after Mr. Thorpe watched The Towering Inferno.
Oh, okay.
And then had a dream where he replaced, you know, a raging fire for like firearms. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've got an idea. I'm bringing my guy out of retirement.
Yeah. I mean, it works. So
yeah. And. The time critics said it was, you know, really brilliant, like exciting. The LA mm-hmm. Times said that you should read it in one single sitting.
Oh.
I can agree with that. Like it's a fast read. I read it over 2 days and like it really moves. Like it reads like an action movie.
Yeah. And there wasn't even that much that it seemed like they changed from like the actual events in the book either. Like,
right. Kind
of just some names and stuff.
Straight out. Combine some characters, change some names, but
yeah, okay. they changed motivations first of mm-hmm. all to make the terrorists like a little bit less sympathetic. Uh-huh. I think
in the movie or in the book
in the movie,
yeah,
they made a shift toward like no, they're actually just thieves,
right?
Right,
right.
They just
like,
want
the
money.
They're straight up like
we just want
like,
money.
Like have the moral low ground, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas in the book, they made them a little bit more sympathetic about like.
Were they
like
trying to stop oil?
They're trying to expose this oil company doing an arms deal. They're just, oh. You know, they're doing it in a terrorist-y way.
Right.
Know? Okay.
Right. And also like,
part of me is inclined to go, eh.
Yeah, exactly. and then I would say that the other major shift that they made from the book to the movie to make the main character a little bit more likable is there weren't women in the gang.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. He wasn't murdering young women.
Yeah, he wasn't murdering like 22-year-old women.
Right.
Like that makes constantly. Him a little bit less sympathetic, you know.
Yeah, like what, three or
that
four?
Would.
And each one, he's like, I really felt bad about killing that last girl, but I'm going to do it again.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Sometimes the situation just forces your hand, you know?
Right.
Sure.
Right,
yeah. You just, yeah.
Exactly.
Jesus.
I don't know.
Well, and another big shift is, again, because they kind of changed time frames, is mm-hmm. in the book, he's like a World War II veteran.
Yeah.
Like a fighter pilot.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And he's not rescuing his wife. His wife died, I think, in between the two books.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to rescue his daughter, who's working at the company.
So, like, later movies.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. They couldn't get Alyssa Milano for this or find a reason for her to be in an office building or something.
Yeah.
She wasn't of age there to be an office lady.
No.
Yeah. But again, I think it plays into, I think the change to making it his wife, like, plays more into, like, a redemptive arc better in the movie, too. Like,
yeah. Especially since the relationship.
With his dead wife in the book, but.
Yeah. And especially since the relationship's kind of on the rocks.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, hey, you know, he might not be the best husband and that stuff, but he's here to save the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, the ending of the book is way darker.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Very, like, everyone here is an asshole and, like, suffering and pain and misery all around. Like, like he doesn't save his daughter. Like, she dies trying to help him kill the Hans Gruber of the book.
Oh.
He gets pulled out the window with him.
Oh.
Yeah. Then he takes all the money from the company and throws it out the window. He's like, fuck these guys, and I hope I destroyed your building, too.
Yeah.
Like, I hope insurance doesn't pay for this.
Yeah.
I think I like the movie better.
Yeah, basically.
And also, one of my favorites, though, is mm-hmm. is the sort of final scene
mm-hmm.
in the book.
Yeah.
Where you got Al Powell, the Reginald Bell Johnson, you know?
Yeah.
And like they have mm-hmm, the last terrorist finally made it out and he's going to shoot the guy.
Yep.
He actually pulls the deputy police chief in front of, main character, like throws him in front of him to like
this guy.
Bullets.
Like, it's like, yeah, coming right for you.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. And then afterwards he's like, oh man, it was a really brave thing that he did, right? Jumping in front of you to take all those bullets.
Right.
And Joe's like, you would make a great cop.
Yeah.
Thanks, Al.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, and then there's also a couple of times where he's like, well, I don't have to kill this person, but I'll move her over here so when I shoot her, it looks like I was defending myself. Because again, towards the end, he just wants everyone dead, wants everyone to suffer. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I understand that feeling. I try to let it go because it doesn't last that long.
You understand the feeling of manipulating people to get killed in what looks like self-defense?
Oh, of just wanting them all to suffer.
Oh, okay.
That happens at school sometimes.
Oh, God.
I'm like, I want you all to suffer. So because five of you are talking, all of you now have to write a one-page essay.
Oh, my God.
I have done that.
All of you with a Kalashnikov.
Sorry, sidetracked.
Not to disrupt the flow. But
sorry, yeah.
Danielle.
Yeah,
to
I gotta go in like
point,
7 minutes.
So
seven
I wanted
Danielle time.
I want to interrupt the structure and ask you: do you recommend this movie? Like, would you if someone's never seen it before, should they go watch it?
Yeah, I think they should watch it.
Yeah,
especially like at Christmas time. Break up the other Christmas movies that are out there.
Watch it with your mom later. Like,
no, but we're gonna watch Carry On, which I heard is like the Die Hard of like. Today,
the
like that they
generation.
Made it's a Christmas movie in an airport with Taron Egerton on Netflix.
Oh,
yeah.
Should I watch that when I'm on my plane?
Yeah, I think you should. We should watch it, and then we should see how it
stacks up.
Stacks up. Okay. They're like it's like the Die Hard of today. It's like okay, well let's see.
Yeah,
the Die Hard of today.
What other Christmas movies have you watched this year
that
are worth checking out?
Obviously, Elf. Everybody should watch Elf all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the two Home Alones, not any of the others, because they're all
correct.
Awful.
Yes. There are only two, as far as I know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know there's more, but like, let's not know there's more.
Yeah.
And of course, the Jim Carrey Grinch is mm-hmm. always great, especially when we're eating dinner and like the gross scenes come on. We do like to see that.
I'm getting sick of that movie.
But I did watch like the Netflix Hallmark movies, mm-hmm. the Hot Frosty, mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
the Merry Gentleman. And
hold on. Let's not roll past Hot Frosty.
I need to watch A Biltmore Christmas since I just went to Biltmore a couple weeks ago.
That was an actual Hallmark movie, and it was like a couple years ago, right? I watched that one.
It's on Netflix, but it's leaving after the 31st.
Yeah, that one is cute.
There are a lot of Hallmark stuff on Netflix now.
Mm-hmm.
They're finally getting over their bullshit with like having to get a Hallmark app.
Yes.
But Hot Frosty, like, actually not bad.
Yeah,
it was,
there's like two different movies going on, but the movie that Daryl from The Office is in is awesome.
Yep, that one was pretty good.
All right.
It was very interesting. And then The Merry Gentleman was like Magic Mike, but at Christmas and with Chad Michael Murray.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And an old guy. Mm-hmm. And the old guy was in there.
Tell
too.
Them about Levi's review.
Levi had walked in and my mom and I were watching it.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it was just like a normal movie for, they're not always dancing around topless.
Uh-huh,
right.
So he just like walks in and he got done running and like standing there for a little bit while we're watching it. And then they start to dance with their shirts off. And Lee was like, oh, I'm going to leave. And he walked away.
He's like, you're watching that right in front of your mom.
Yeah.
It was,
and I was watching it too.
Yeah, like, Travis was watching it too. It wasn't horrible, but then also there was Our Little Secret, which has Lindsay Lohan and her like fabulous new face. Like, I don't know who did her work, but she looks phenomenal.
Oh, does she?
Yes.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. The movie was cute. Like, it was exactly what you would expect from a Netflix Christmas movie. I think it was the best one out of the three.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
No, but Hot Frosty had Lacey Chabert.
Yeah, but no, this one was just better.
She was watching the other Lindsay Lohan movie on Netflix.
Oh, like, yes.
I went to high school with that
She's
girl.
She's like, oh, that looks like a girl I went to high school with.
Ah, I love when they do stuff like that.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those were cute. If you got some time, you could watch those on Netflix. Mm-hmm. They're worth at least one watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the only one I've made sure I do, I've did my annual viewing of the first two Christmas Prince movies.
Oh yeah.
So, oh yes.
They're so delightfully simple.
Yeah.
They're cute. I love them. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll watch a couple more now that Sue's in town. So
yeah, we'll find something. Yeah.
And I've been tasked when I'm in Europa to find a acorn ornament.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So
yeah. I thought you said Aruba.
You got your scavenger hunt
all. Europa.
Mm-hmm. Europa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yep, yep. What was your favorite scene in this movie?
What was my favorite scene?
When he threw that corpse onto the police car to get their attention?
That was pretty good. I don't know.
When he said hello to the porn poster for the second time, he's like, hey, I'm
ready. It's like, oh, hey.
Yeah. Again, a nice little touch that makes Bruce Willis a charming man.
Yeah.
I liked it when he wrapped himself in the fire hose and, like, jumped down the building.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this is fine. The whole rest of the building on top's on fire, but this hose will probably hold still.
Yeah.
Straight
up. Hey, it's that extra strength. Like weaving, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Like, I think there are like a lot of iconic little moments in this movie.
Yeah,
yeah,
and like especially like I don't know, like flipping on the Zippo and the ductwork, like that's a classic moment. And but my favorite, honestly, is just like the little small thing of the terrorist guy going behind the newsstand, and then he's like, "Oh, candy."
Oh yes, he's like, oh yes,
like oh yep. Like Nestle Crunch Bar, like absolutely, right. Like he's just like he's like shiftily looking around and like kind of reaching under the counter, like
yeah,
now I want a Nestle Crunch Bar.
I liked when they were like, he's like, oh, Argyle, please tell me you heard the gunshots and called the police, and he's in the car like on the phone like jamming like
yeah.
Like he didn't hear,
but he showed up when it mattered.
Yes. Right. He punched that one guy.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think just so in general, that whole scene where they're infiltrating the building is just really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very slick, very calculated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then, yeah, with little grace notes of like, oh, Zoom's awesome.
Yeah.
Nestle Crunch, I didn't know you had this.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Those are hard to find these days, it seems like.
Right?
I like Nestle Crunch bars. I'd be excited, too.
Yeah,
Crisp rice.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored by Nestle's Crunch.
That's right. We'll have a half-hour ad break for Nestle Crunch. Yep.
Did you get your copy for your ad read for Nestle Crunch? Like, all right.
Oh, I also liked when he was like, "Yes, I found some shoes. I can put shoes on." Dang, it's like the one person that has smaller feet than like my sister. Or whatever
he's like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the
it's
other.
Like,
point.
I picked the one terrorist, the smaller feet than my sister.
6 foot German guy has tiny feet.
Like tiny feet. Couldn't get some shoes.
Yeah. I loved how much attention they paid to his video game inventory in this movie. Like everything he came across was important and used later. And they never lost track of like, oh, well, he can't use a lighter. He didn't pick that up, or he ran out of bullets for that gun. So now he has to use it as like a grappling hook to climb in this shaft or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very organized way of doing things. And, everything kind of pays off at some point. Like everything he finds is important to the story, and they let you know that he has it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and then he lets other people know too. He's like, "Now I have a machine gun."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ho
ho ho. Ho ho ho.
That's why it's a Christmas movie.
That's right.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I have to go.
I was just gonna ask, anything else you wanna get on record before you head out? Was it better than 2001?
God, yes. Nothing has been worse than 2001.
I thought
lauded Breakfast film masterpiece.
Breakfast at Tiffany's was bad, but it was not 2001 bad.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Enjoy your lunch. Enjoy the Nutcracker.
We're going to go watch the Nutcracker
Tell
people
the
dance
rat
around.
Queen I said hello.
Okay.
Find out if she has an Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Bye-bye. See ya.
Bye.
Don't forget your Stanley either.
I got it. You can sit in the comfy chair now. Bye-bye.
Stanley mug.
All right. I got to move around now.
I just saw an ad from them that now they have water, like, spill-resistant ones, like leak-proof Stanleys.
Are they...
Because all the kids keep dropping them.
Are they not leak-proof to begin with? They're pretty heavy-duty.
Some were leak-resistant.
Do they still have lots of lead in them, or is that...
Now it's, like, leak-proof.
Oh, I don't know. My favorite thing to come out of this is, like, the company that made, like, the heavy mug. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Uh-uh.
But, like some company took it to extremes and was like, we made a coffee mug that's, like, 45 pounds of machine steel.
Why?
Just because. And so a lot of the ads for it are just, like, people hefting this mug to their mouth. Like, oh, like, geez. Like,
doesn't seem like why would you need this?
They're all just jacked. Novelty. Yeah. Like...
Huge
it's
triceps.
A great way to get exercise. Like every week, you got to lift 35 pounds to get your coffee. Like,
I mean, I've been exercising with Izzy because she likes to like. Ever since she was little, we had this game where she like comes and like stands over your leg, and then she wants you to like lift her up with it.
Yeah.
Well, she still loves that, but she's 50 pounds now. It's like, okay, at least I'm getting some exercise in now.
Yeah, yeah.
Since I don't do any, I'm like, this is probably good for me. Lift the 50-pound dog with my legs.
Well, this is out of order, but some extra stuff about this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was directed by John McTiernan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who we previously featured for Hunt for Red October. He directed that, too.
Yes.
And also did Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and also
that's
spent
right.
like a year in jail for a wiretapping scheme.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
I didn't get too
During
deep
his
into that
career
Wikipedia.
Beforehand.
It was like early 2000s, so.
Oh, okay.
He like kind of retired from directing because of that, but.
Yeah.
I didn't get all the details, but apparently he was like wiretapping somebody or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so went to jail for that. Anyway.
Well, he does weird things to people. Look at John McAfee.
Yeah. Budget of about $35 million.
Okay.
Box office of like $140 million. So.
Mm-hmm. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby, especially for an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier, but like at the time, like, people were like, I don't know if this Bruce Willis guy is going to cut it. Like,
yeah,
he's done TV and stuff. And so they didn't really feature him much in the advertising when it came out. They're mostly like, look at this cool ass building he's going to be in.
Oh, yeah.
This building is why you want to see this movie.
Which, by the way, is in the Fox Plaza.
Yeah.
In Century City, if you want to go see
it. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They,
I didn't know. I didn't look up which building they were using, so.
Yeah. Like that was one of the things is like Fox. I think it was actually under construction at that point.
Yeah.
They were still like doing some of the floors. And so they were like, why don't we just shoot here?
Why not?
Why not?
Why don't we just use the building that the movie company
put up some fake logos and there we go.
Yeah. We already have all the cocaine we need for the party scene. Like, let's just do it here.
Exactly. To put up that one guy's nose.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty much.
Only once.
What a jerk. Wink.
Only one.
You snake.
It wasn't everybody.
He should have been named Judas.
No. That would be too on the, you know, too obvious.
On the nose. Too up the nose. So yeah, initial mixed reviews for this movie, but was the highest grossing action movie of that year.
And I had
4 Academy Award nominations.
Really?
Like for the sound and editing and stuff, but still it counts.
Yeah.
It does. I didn't know that.
But you know, it's another one of these movies that's had a huge afterlife in the rental market. Like, I'm sure we had all of the copies on the shelves of Blockbuster, even when I worked there. So
I remember even one of the few jokes that I remember from the TV show Friends was like Joey and Chandler renting Die Hard and Die Hard 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so Joey went and rented it, and they were going to have their double feature, and then it turns out that Joey actually just rented two copies of Die Hard. Because, you know, if you remember the way that video rental works, like, he was like, oh, well, it was behind Die Hard, so I thought it was Die Hard 2. But, like, no, it's just, like, more they stack all the movies on the shelf that way, right?
Right.
Yep.
So they just watched Die Hard twice.
Which is not so bad, actually.
It's not so bad.
Yeah. Like, they noted that this is, like, retroactively considered responsible for reviving the action movie genre.
Oh, wow.
Like, kind of replacing the, like, Stallone Schwarzenegger type, like, super muscly guys with just, like, infinite ammo. With more, like, vulnerable and fallible heroes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was, like, a really important part of this movie, that, like, as the action goes on, like, he is more and more twisted up and hurt and bleeding and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like there are actual stakes, like...
Right.
Yeah.
Like, things could actually go wrong for him.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it starts with just being barefoot and, like, unequipped. Like,
yeah.
He had his one gun, but everything else he just has to scavenge.
Mm-hmm.
So.
If only he hadn't followed that guy's advice, he at least had his shoes.
Yep.
So the moral of the story, like, don't listen to randoms on the airplane.
The business dudes on the airplane.
That's right.
Just because they're in first class doesn't mean they know anything.
Were they, though? Or was that just supposed to be regular airplane seating?
It's hard to tell. It was definitely throwback airplane.
Yeah.
Like, smoking in the airport. Remember that?
I remember smoking on the airplane.
God. Yeah.
Like, when I was really little, they still had smoking sections. Like, a curtain was going to keep the smoke out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how old I am. I remember when you could smoke on an airplane.
We had to sit in it one time when I was really little, and I didn't like it because it was, you know, smelly.
Yeah.
So.
Plus, you're at altitude, so.
It's more intense. It was only for our connecting flight from whatever airport, I think in California or near there, to Palm Springs, so.
Yeah.
So we used to go visit my grandparents every spring.
Yeah.
When they made their annual migration to California.
Yeah.
And stop at the supper club and get some prime rib.
We didn't get to do that. Ours was Las Cazuelas.
Uh-huh.
A Mexican place. That was our favorite.
Okay. Okay.
So, it counts.
And you got to sit outside because, you know, it was warm.
Yeah,
and that
nice.
Was just super cool to, like, five-year-old me. So.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when they switched over and you couldn't smoke on airplanes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when we'd pick my grandma up, she's like, okay, I'll talk to you guys in a minute. I'm going to the smoking section.
Right. I have to go. I have to go.
Like, I'll be friendly in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even until a few years ago, they still had.
I absolutely understand.
I remember when they made the, like, in the early 2000s, they made, like, the smoking boxes in the airport where people could go in, and they had, like, a super fan in it to, like, pull all the shit out.
Yeah.
After you had, after it was a pain in the ass, yeah, to go through security, they're like, okay, well, we can't have people going in and out to smoke, so here you go.
Yeah.
Stand in this like, contained place.
Yeah. Other throwbacks in this movie, gas for 74 cents?
Yeah.
It took me a minute to process that. I'm like, 70, oh my God.
And that's in California, in where California, gas is always more expensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably like 35 cents in Missouri or something.
Probably
not that low, but
yeah. I remember when gas was less than a dollar, but
I do too. I remember when everybody lost their shit when gas hit a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was when we were going to college.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I would not have been able to drive the car I did if gas was more than $1.50 back then.
I know.
Like, right.
I remember being like, okay, good. I found $10. I can buy enough gas to put in the van to get home, and then mom will fill up my tank. Yeah, now it's like, ugh.
Remember when you could find money and have it be enough to buy things?
I do, right?
Like a White Castle sack?
Yeah, mm-hmm. like the change in the couch could actually get you something.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I found a quarter. Awesome. This changes my day.
I'm going to walk through the woods to get to the convenience store across the way, and then I'm going to buy a shitload of candy with this money that
at
I found on the ground.
Yeah. I'm going to Huck's.
Mine was I couldn't go across Manchester and stuff, but neither could most of my friends. Mm-hmm. So we would ride our bikes in the back neighborhood stuff mm-hmm. down to like the corner, like where they had a like strip mall thing where our Dairy Queen was, and we had a mm-hmm. big drug emporium.
Yeah.
So there was like a break in the fence in the back, so you just ride yeah. your bike through that, and then behind oh, nice. All the buildings, and then like, yeah. I would go get we get like candy and sodas and stuff for like yeah. $2.
Bitch.
It's nice. Enough for a whole Saturday morning. You know.
Bitchin'. You get like a surge.
Two-liter surge. One time walked all the way through the woods to get to Target.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
You follow the creek and mm-hmm. follow the where they were planning to build the highway. And you could get yourself to Target, and it was kind of funny because like you end up walking in there like all disheveled and dirty and like oh, this homeless child has wandered into Target. Like,
yeah.
Once we got a little older, I could ride my bike down through Kirkwood mm-hmm. before they moved the Target. Like it was right there in downtown by the train tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was like a 15-minute ride from my house.
Yeah.
Nice.
We could
like, walk. Yeah, I'm going to go Target, spend this $5 I got.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Walk like the 3 miles to a good. Quick Trip all the way down on the corner of 94.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And then later a Dirt Cheap, which we really didn't avail ourselves of. But
yeah.
Cheap fun.
Yeah. Weren't really of age at the time.
Oh, I'm sure it wouldn't have mattered. Like, whoever was working there is.
They had a drive through, which I thought was crazy.
I don't think I ever availed myself of Dirt Cheap, really. Uh-huh. I just liked their mascot, the weird chicken lady.
Like wearing the bathing suit. Bathing suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Weird man.
Yeah.
They were the last refuge of the persecuted smoker.
That's right. That's right. And that dude looked like a persecuted smoker.
He lived his values.
So he sure did.
He was authentic.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So you mentioned it before, but like another thing I really liked was the progression through this movie, like especially in costume, like the way he just kind of breaks. You can see his breakdown via his clothing. Like,
yeah,
shows up and has to get to work. So he takes his shirt off and is working in his undershirt, which gets severely dirty as he starts doing dirty work. And then in the end, he's just like soaked in blood, like not all his.
Yeah.
And then also just the general, like, dialogue as prophecy in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, talking about, it's just like in Saigon. And then shortly after there, he's wading through, like, a makeshift rainforest in the lobby with all the water pouring in all the plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I forget the exact comment, but someone's like, oh, you want to play cowboy? He's like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, and then does have like an old West-style shootout at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like Edgar Wrightian type of prophetic dialogue, which I really liked.
Yeah.
And, you know, things that are easy for me to notice, like the like minor key Ode to Joy, as things start getting bad in their Christmas party, I thought was really cool.
Right.
I'm like, I noticed that.
Yeah, the way that they reused that theme in the soundtrack was really excellent, I thought. And like even some of the characters like humming along to it and like it's really good use of music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also something that makes it feel Christmassy.
Exactly. Well, they even lampshaded the coming debate, like, right away when he's in the cab with Argyle listening to Run DMC. He's like, don't you have any Christmas music? He's like, they say Christmas, it's Christmas music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See? They already defeated this argument long ago.
Right.
That's right.
So, any other thoughts about the movie?
It's just that everyone should watch it in the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a debate. Just do it. Yeah.
Make it a yearly tradition.
Have a good time with it.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Look up exactly when you need to start the movie for Severus Snape to fall out the window at midnight on Christmas. That was the other thing that I really enjoyed. Like, I have a bad thing where, like, if I've seen someone in a more recent movie, I have a hard time being like, oh, yep. There's Willy Wonka on Dune, like fighting for a rabbit.
Right?
This, I expected to come in and have Alec Rickman being like 5 points from Gryffindor, but it was much more Sheriff of Nottingham at this, this point.
Yeah.
I said, thankfully for me, I watched Dune before I watched Willy Wonka.
Oh, okay.
So,
it was the other way. You were expecting him to like go around murdering people.
No, I was just like, good. This is not the role I'm associating him with.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, it's fine, but
he's gonna mumble sing at people.
Yeah. Alan Rickman to me is one of those actors that, I don't see him as any particular one of his roles because he's had so many diverse, like he's a person who can do anything. In my life.
Right.
So I always enjoy watching him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He lends a gravitas to whatever he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if he's just stealing a bunch of bearer bonds to just be a thief and get out of there.
Yeah.
And fuck the company.
I always think of like Kevin Smith telling the story of having him on Dogma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how like how Jason Mewes was like really worried.
Uh-huh.
And ended up like learning not just his lines, but like everyone's lines in the script because he didn't want to piss off that Rickman dude.
Yeah. Smart.
Kevin Smith is like, oh shit, we got Alan Rickman. We got like a real actor. Like, and so Jason Mewes got all scared and like, I didn't want to piss off that Rickman dude.
Right.
Someone who's not just a friend I made is in my movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Make sure it's good.
And again, like lending gravitas.
Yeah. Yeah.
To what is ultimately like a very silly movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Spitting out his alcohol because you're an angel and can't drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good movie.
Very much so.
Probably they had to change their motivation as terrorists since they had Alan Rickman, because if they had gone with the book version, you'd been like, well, Alan Rickman is right. Like, we would have had Italian plumber style assassination attempts way earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If they had kept it, like, I'm exposing this oil company for their shitty arms deal they're doing with Chile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was double checking myself. Like, they did not have any other motivation in the movie, right? They just were stealing the money.
They vaguely mentioned stuff about Nakatomi, but that's what made him a target for them.
I think
just their size and business dealings.
They mostly called it out, actually, that like all of the stuff they were doing sort of as terrorism was like it was just a cover.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
so
it was very clear in the movie that like, you know, like, oh, he read about like some like terrorist organization in like Time magazine. And that was how he decided, like. And then, and also the fact that, like, whatever terrorist organization he was a part of before, like, had kicked him out. Like, he clearly too immoral to even be a terrorist. Like, we don't want to associate ourselves with this guy. He's just,
he's a tourist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I forgot about that, but that's a great point.
Yeah.
He kind of had like that half-hearted thing where he was like, for your various sins or whatever, we're punishing you, but wasn't very specific.
But really, it was all about stealing the bearer bonds and getting drunk on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think this is where Carl Winslow developed his hatred for blurreds?
Possibly.
Like that one guy breaking into all the thing, he's like, this fucking guy. That's why he hated Steve Urkel so much.
Oh my god.
Carl Winslow. What a guy.
Carl Winslow.
All right. Well, high recommendations all around, even from Danielle.
Yep.
Yes.
Which is a big success.
It is. I would say that honestly is what we look for here.
I don't think she knows it, but I think she's a fan of 80s action movies.
I think so.
Like she loved They Live.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, see? She appreciates the 80s boobs too, I think.
All right.
I think so.
Well, do you guys have anything else that's good?
Well, you know, just trying to get ready for a trip.
Get the fuck out of Dodge. Like,
go on places.
Go do stuff and see people and things.
Yep. Yeah. Fly a German airline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lufthansa.
Let's see.
Drive a handful of hours up north.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Planning on doing that fairly soon, I think. I don't know. I started playing Metaphor Fantasio.
Yeah.
Which, you know, speaking of like the Philip K. Dick thing, like it's actually kind of amazing. The sort of, first of all, it was made by the same team that makes, Persona over at Atlas. And so it is very highly designed and stylish and cool as shit.
Uh huh.
And like the world building is solid, and the story so far is solid, but like one of the things I wanted to call out, like again, going back to that Philip K. Dick reference, is how, in this game, the protagonist has a fantasy novel.
Oh,
right. Like it's set in a fantasy world where you've got like all of these sort of, different races and like all of this sort of power struggle and like, I don't know, sort of, like societal commentary, I guess.
Right.
But the fantasy novel that the protagonist has in the book is like very obviously set in modern Japan.
Okay.
And like the fantasy of the fantasy novel is like, oh, look, it's like a group of people that just kind of get along peacefully. Like, look at that. Like, what a crazy world they live in.
Right.
Where, like, they're not constantly trying to dominate each other and struggle for power. Like, what a fantasy.
What a fantasy. Wow. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. No, I really enjoy it so far. I'm looking forward to actually like playing a game for once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested to check that out, but I have to be very cautious because those types of games, like I can't not play them once I start playing them. And so I have to find a time where it'd be like responsible to do that.
Yeah.
Which who knows if that will ever happen, but.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who has time to put, like, 100 hours into a game anymore?
Responsibly.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
If I stop sleeping for a month, I can get through it.
That's right.
No, but you need to function better, so...
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm not doing nothing. I'm not doing nothing.
Well, I mean, you got, like... What, like 5-6 years before your kids are off in college? Like, you just gotta wait a little bit longer.
Yeah. You'll probably finish it by then.
Or they just wait till then, and then you have all the time you need.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Once you got the empty nest, you'll have, like, so much time.
For yeah, Danielle's not gonna want you to do anything.
Right.
Never.
Well, she's gonna have her own shit. She's got her own list of things.
Ballet
she's...
without me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been, kind of circle back. That's why I've been holding off on starting Persona 3 Reloaded. I'm like,
yeah,
I really want to play it, but maybe I'll do it this week.
I mean, the
while it's light at work.
My understanding for the Persona 3 remake was that the dungeons were still a slog.
Yeah,
that, like that was my least favorite part of that game.
Yeah, but you know, that's just dungeons anyway. I don't
know.
We'll see. It's either that or Persona 5, which I want to restart. Because now I kind of know how to do a Persona game.
Uh-huh.
Unlike when I first played it. So.
And you were like, what the hell is this even?
Yeah. I was like, I guess got to hang out with everyone every time. But anyway.
Nope. Gotta make choices.
Gotta make choices and shit.
Gotta make choices.
So, on my side, I've been like in a vampire killing type of mood.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
The Castlevania Dominus Collection.
Okay.
So that's all of the games that came out on the DS.
Okay.
Hmm. So I've been really enjoying that more than I expected to. It was interesting though, cause like, I really don't like Castlevania as far as I know, except for Symphony of the Night.
Right.
But through PlayStation Stars, I got this game for free with points. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And I was playing, Order of, I want to say Ecclesiastes, but that's wrong. Hold on. order of Ecclesia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing it and noticing, like, oh, it's like this lady, and she uses magic to make weapons, and she, like, basically steals glyphs from people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh shit, this is Bloodstained. Like, I already played this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so I retroactively had nostalgia for this game that was basically remade to prove later on that people liked Castlevanias. So,
Yeah.
Once I kind of got past that and figured out what was going on, I've been really enjoying all the other games in the collection. So, finished that one, played Dawn of Sorrow, I'm now on Dawn of Sorrow. Portrait of Ruin is the one I went through. And so far, that's my favorite.
It's okay. Really
cool. It's got a team dynamic.
Mm.
Which is neat, so you can have two different people and either solo it or have them help you out to kill vampires and stuff, but enjoying it a lot.
Good.
I've also been listening to Let the Right One In.
Okay.
Nice. The audiobook,
and that's been really good so far, too.
Okay.
I'm probably about a third of the way into it, and it hasn't really gotten to the main point of it yet. Where you kind of figure out where everything is going on, but
yeah,
the build up to it, I think, has been done really well. Like, so far, the story is just, you know, about a kid who's being bullied in school.
Yeah.
And, really likes Goosebumps books and reading about serial killers. And it's like, maybe one day I'll be a serial killer.
Oh my God.
And then there's this parallel track with this, guy who you basically get the impression is like a contract killer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's giving you the kind of, like, collision course trajectory between these two characters. Like,
okay,
this guy, like, you follow him through the woods and meets a kid that you knew that the other kid, the bullied kid, was also going into the woods the same time, and, like, are they going to meet up? But he ends up killing some other kid instead.
Oh, jeez.
Bullied kid finds out about it, and the next day he's like,
that could have been me.
Because he went into the woods with a knife to practice stabbing the trees, pretending they were all his bullies. He's like, did I accidentally use magic and kill this kid?
Oh.
Oh, damn.
So, you know. Meanwhile, there's like a new girl who moved into his apartment complex who doesn't mind that it's super cold and only wears like certain clothes and only comes out at night. So, you know, wink, nudge. What might be going on there, but really enjoying it so far. It is firmly in the grim, dark, like, type of Swedish novel with the kind of stuff they get up to.
I mean, the winters are long and dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, like death metal also comes from Sweden.
Like, right.
More than once while I've been listening to it during my run, I'm like, oh. Gross. Okay. So, but the fun kind of gross.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Okay.
So yes, it's been very satisfying so far.
All right.
And I guess there were a couple of movies made about it, like not too long ago. Let the Right One In.
Yeah. There's probably a Swedish and American. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the American one in the theater.
The one I think I really liked about the audiobook is it's read by a British guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the Swedish, like, local toughs have, like, they sound like they're from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh, nice.
Like, okay, I get it. Like, it helps you picture the type of kid.
It does.
That's not the accent they would use, guy. Fair enough. I don't know. So, pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else we should chat about?
Not that I can think of.
Nope.
All right. Well, safe journeys to you both.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Have fun across the pond.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Buy me a chocolate or something, or eat a chocolate on my behalf. Enjoy the Christmas markets.
Yeah.
I will.
I liked the Christmas markets in Angers a lot because they would have free samples of truffles.
Oh, that's fancy.
I went to the Christmas market when I was in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was crowded as shit.
Yeah.
I bet.
It was like wall to wall people. Like I, you know, like had a very difficult time finding a spot to eat my Hungarian sausage.
Okay, that was our session for today. One quick on second thought type of note. If you did want to sync up your movie so that Hans Gruber's plummet to Earth is what rings in the Christmas holiday, you should start the movie at exactly 9:57 and 32 seconds p.m. And homework for this time. As always, we know it can be tough during the holidays, so if you find yourself alone, it is a perfect time to reach out to old and new friends, or go to an office holiday party, or share tips for relaxation with your seatmates on your flight, or dial someone up on the CB radio. Or if none of those options are available to you, send us a message on socials. We'll send you some pictures of our cats, or encourage you to pull up somewhere and have a slice of pizza. Today's episode was funded by a multi-million dollar weapons deal with Chile, with thanks to Chris Ham, Chris Other Chris Jacobson, Danielle Neither Chris Rowe. It was edited by me, Travis Rowe, and was sponsored by no one in particular. Until next time, keep fucking reading.
Did you want to go?
I mean, we did go to this production of the Nutcracker. They put it on every year down the way. And I like it. But she never invited me back. Like, oh. The first year.
It's because you kept saying stuff about, like, the cod pieces.
No, it's because the rat queen is hot.
Oh, okay.
And she was available for pictures afterward.
Like,
all the cast kind of hung out in the lobby afterward. And Danielle wouldn't let me get my picture with the rat queen.
Oh.
And then last year she took her friend to go see it without me. This year she's taken her mom to go see it without me. Come on now.
They're probably going to get their picture taken with the rat queen too.
I'm okay probably with that.